This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for September 7th, 2012. I'm Natalie Pinchem. Topics covered in this podcast are vascular disorders and functional neurosurgery. Differences in simple morphological variables in ruptured and unruptured middle cerebral artery aneurysms. A clinical article by Ning Lin and colleagues. The management of an incidentally discovered intracranial aneurysm remains controversial. As a result of the international study of unruptured intracranial aneurysms, treatment decision of unruptured intracranial aneurysms is based mainly on the size of the aneurysm. The contributions of morphological parameters of an aneurysm and its surrounding vascular architecture have not been included in the treatment paradigm in a systematic manner. The author studied the geometric features of middle cerebral artery aneurysms treated at a single institution between 2005 and 2008, using 3D models generated from preoperative CT angiograms by using open-source slicer software. Morphological parameters examined included aneurysm size, aspect ratio, aneurysm angle, vessel angle, size ratio, flow angle, distance to the genu, and parent vessel daughter vessel angle. Ruptured aneurysms were associated with a greater aspect ratio, larger flow angle, and smaller parent daughter angle after adjusting for demographic and clinical risk factors. These parameters represent three distinct aspects in the hemodynamics of an aneurysm: the morphology of the aneurysm itself, the relationship between the aneurysm and the associated parent and daughter vessels, and the relationship among the surrounding vasculature. They are physically intuitive parameters, can be measured easily, and may be used in conjunction with aneurysm size and location, as well as other demographic and clinical risk factors, to evaluate the rupture risk of middle cerebral artery aneurysms. Long-term outcomes for low-grade intracranial ganglioglioma. 30-year experience from the Mayo Clinic. A clinical article by Julia Compton and co-authors. Gangliogliomas are rare, representing less than 1% of all brain tumors. Optimal therapy for these tumors consists of complete resection. Given the favorable survival rate and reports of slow progression, even with incomplete resection, the role of adjuvant therapy after incomplete resection remains unclear. The objective of this study was to review long-term outcomes of 88 patients with low-grade gangliogliomas, and in particular to evaluate risk factors for recurrence and the role of radiation therapy after incomplete resection. With a median follow-up of 11.8 years, the 15-year survival rate was 94%. Median progression-free survival was 5.6 years. All patients with unresectable disease who underwent biopsy only experienced tumor progression. 68% of patients with incomplete resection experienced tumor progression. Risk of progression was dramatically affected by the extent of initial resection, with a p-value of less than 0.001, with median time to progression after complete resection of 16.7 years, compared with 1.8 years after incomplete resection. Adjuvant radiation therapy delayed time to recurrence to 5.6 years, but the difference was not statistically significant. No patients in this series experienced malignant transformation of their tumors. This study confirms the importance of complete resection of gangliogliomas and suggests a substantial recurrence rate and rapid time to recurrence for patients with incomplete resection of low-grade gangliogliomas. The role of adjuvant therapy warrants further evaluation in this population. Incidence of cerebral ischemic events after discontinuation of clopidogrel in patients with intracranial aneurysms treated with stent-assisted techniques. A clinical article by James Rossen and co-workers. Optimal antiplatelet medication protocol is unclear for prevention of thrombotic complications after stent-assisted coil embolization of cerebral aneurysms. Early cessation of antiplatelet agents may be associated with an increased risk of cerebral ischemic events. In this study, the authors assessed the incidence of stroke or transient ischemic attack following discontinuation of a 6-week course of clopidogrel in 154 patients with cerebral aneurysms treated with stent-assisted techniques. It was found that 5% of patients suffered an ischemic event after cessation of clopidogrel. Atypical aneurysm features and cardiovascular risk factors were highly prevalent in patients in whom ischemic events developed. The results of this study suggest that any stroke related to clopidogrel discontinuation is avoidable and that dual antiplatelet therapy should be continued for more than 6 weeks. Influence of the combination of patient age and deep venous drainage on brain arteriovenous malformation recurrence after surgery. A clinical article by Michael Karen Morgan and colleagues. Arteriovenous malformations of the brain can be treated in a variety of ways, such as with surgery, radiosurgery, embolization, and conservative management. Each of these treatment methods has significant differences in risks. Most risks associated with surgery and embolization occur at the time of the procedure. In comparison, radiosurgery is associated with a lower treatment risk, but a higher post-treatment risk. Recurrence of surgically treated arteriovenous malformations also expose the patient to higher post-treatment risk. Therefore, predicting which arteriovenous malformations may recur should influence recommendations for treatment and long-term surveillance. This study was performed to determine factors that may predict arteriovenous malformation recurrence after an initial cure by postoperative angiography. 427 patients whose postoperative angiograms confirmed complete arteriovenous malformation obliteration underwent radiographic follow-up for more than 1 year. The authors found that in young patients with an arteriovenous malformation associated with deep venous drainage, the 10-year recurrence rate was 63%. When discussing the risks of surgery, the potential for recurrence should be discussed, particularly for younger patients with deep venous drainage. This group of patients needs to be considered for long-term surveillance following surgery. Short Circuit in Deep Brain Stimulation, a clinical article by Kazuhiro Samura and co-authors. Is it a disease progression or a DBS failure? Deep brain stimulation, or DBS, is a very effective and safe treatment for medically intractable movement disorders. But when patients treated with DBS experience an increase in symptoms or an apparent lack of treatment efficacy, it is often unclear whether this is due to disease progression or DBS system malfunction. A failure in circuit impedance is one of the most frequent DBS malfunctions. In contrast to open circuits, which result in a sudden loss of clinical efficacy, short circuits may arise due to a gradual decrease in circuit impedance, causing the insidious development of neurological symptoms due to unexpectedly limited or extended therapeutic fields. The authors treated over 700 patients with DBS surgery in the past 15 years. They recently started routinely checking system impedance at all outpatient visits after an incidental finding of short circuit. During a single year, they found 7 short circuits, for a rate of 8.9%. The mean interval from DBS surgery until detection of the short circuit was 65 months. All DBS electrodes with short circuit were anchored to the cranium using mini plates, but not with burr hole caps. The symptoms suggesting short circuits had an insidious pattern and mimicked the natural progress of movement disorder itself. The authors emphasize that incidence of short circuits in DBS may be higher than has been expected, and that circuit impedance should be more frequently checked, even in patients with a long history of DBS therapy. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.